Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. It is the end of March, January, March. Wow, that's crazy. Time has flown. I hope you guys are having a good day. Yes. It is sunny out here in Seattle. So sending out good vibes to you. Today is going to be a good day because we got Vince Costa with us from down in Austin, currently in Texas. Vince is a mobile home park broker and an investor. So I'm sure he has some good wisdom to impart on us today. So Vince, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
I hope so. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Gabe. Yeah. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely.
Also sunny. It's warming up here. Happy Good Friday.
There you go. Yeah. In Texas, it gets hot pretty quickly, right? It gets hot like what, April, May?
Yeah. We're just coming out of our last cold spell and it's going to be 100 probably in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Every time I go, I own a couple properties down there, and every time I go down there, it's like August. And it's like 10 zillion degrees and I'm just sweating my ass off, and it's tough, but you guys are tough down there in Texas. So
yeah, we know how to handle it, I guess.
It's as much as you can.
Yeah.
I told you before we got on here, we like to start with stories. So why don't you take us back to the beginning of your story in real estate and tell us how you got started?
Yeah, definitely. I started in real estate right out of college, and I worked my way up from a building superintendent, fresh out of college, 23 years old, and was building custom homes. From there, I was part of two big single family projects, building neighborhoods. One was a condo project. It's called The Walsh in Central Austin. It's 55 houses. And then we built another project. I'm kind of worked my way up to a partner level for another 60 homes in New Braunfels, Texas, which is a beautiful part of the world here. And it was a cool project. And I was a broker on the side the whole time while we were doing development and construction. And so working hard 7 days a week for, 8 years. And man, we were about through with phase one of our project, that second project called Farmhouse in New Braunfels, and 25 houses built, 25 customers, countless subs. I had three superintendents working for me and a partner. But I kind of was the main guy on the ground and at the city every night, and just it's a lot. No mobile home park next door is about passing through every month what our projected profits were for the whole year as passive income. And I said, after quick math on that, I'm like, I got to go see what this is all about, And so that's kind of how I got here. I recently moved to Fort Worth. I grew up in Austin, been there my whole life. And my wife and I just moved to Fort Worth. I joined Hope Brothers, Charlie Hope here, and Spearhead Manufactured Housing for him. They focus on storage mostly in this office. There's just a few of us brokers. And with my background and where I wanted to go, I came in. Like I said, spearheaded the RV parks and the mobile home park brokerage side of things for Charlie. So,
nice, man.
It's been fun. It's been great.
It's a good place to be. The two mobile home parks, I own with partners. They are awesome. I want more. I told you this before we got on the show. Really like mobile home parks. They're a great investment. And so it sounds like you've had a lot of experience spanning from development to brokerage to investing. So a lot to go into. Let's go back to the beginning when you first saw that mobile home park, when you're on that development site in Texas. How did you figure out that this is where you wanted to go? And once you got into that, have you bought a mobile home park yet?
I have not. So I own storage in that same part of Texas. It's called Canyon Lake, New Braunfels area. And it's a small storage facility. And actually, I'm in the midst of selling it right now. We're under contract and set to close, and everything's running smoothly there. But it's a pretty small facility. And, you know, I'm kind of getting my ducks in a row to probably move over to the RV and mobile home park side of things, and a little bit probably closer to Fort Worth. What I found is
you're looking to buy your own mobile home RV.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I mean, yeah, this the storage deal, it's going to be fine for us, and we'll do well there. You know what we're, and so yeah, we'll find and you know, the ROI on the mobile home parks versus the storage mobile home parks is always, it seems to be, you know, it's going to depend on project, but a little bit higher, but it's also a little bit more labor intensive, you know, so you probably, unless it's big, want it closer to home where you can kind of manage it and check on it, and, you know, a little bit more moving parts on roofs over people's heads than, you know, grandma's old Christmas decorations that you don't care about in the, you know, mini storage. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I love the mobile home parks, and I've been to a lot of them. My region right now covers everywhere from Colorado, New Mexico, and the six states surrounding North Texas. So Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And so I've seen a lot of mobile home parks already in the short time I've been with Charlie. And but yeah, sorry to answer your question, I guess. I was living in Austin, and I did the quick math on what the lot rents were. I was looking for actually a place to just hang my hat at night, because we were working so hard at that project, and we were building luxury homes next door to this thing. And that was about 250 houses, and the lot rents were $600 a month. And so, and you know, I was just quickly saying, okay, their maintenance must be this, that, and wow. I got to go see what this is about, because their passive income is wild. And
so you said the passive income exceeded the development that you're doing. Were you developing luxury homes for rent?
No, for sale. Yeah, for sale. This was post COVID. Our construction costs were insane.
And our profit spread on the development was
our profit on building and selling houses. Yeah. For our annualized, what we had projected annually, you know, they were passing through that or even a little more every month.
Man, so, that's rough. I mean, yeah, I feel like that kind of has to do with the development, underwriting, essentially, because you should be making a lot more on a development project than a mobile home can pass through in cash flow every month. Mobile home,
yeah, park, you should.
250 sites.
I know. I mean, you look at the size too. We were building 25 houses a year, and they had 250 sites. You know, and but yeah, it was post COVID. Our lumber costs were crazy. All the construction costs were crazy, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's new construction, so there's not very many comps to go around it. We're also building a specialty product in a kind of on the outskirts of a
niche area. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that's kind of how that all worked, though.
Yeah. So let's tell me a little bit about the, you know, your marketing so far. You're on the brokerage side. You like brokerage. You're looking at mobile home parks. The hard part about getting a good deal in the mobile home side is finding the deal. It's right. Just getting in contact with the seller and getting a good purchase price. I mentioned I've been looking for a good one since we bought those two, 3 years ago now. So I haven't found a good mobile home park since then. How is your marketing going? What have you found that's worked on the mobile home side? Just tell us a little bit more about your brokerage.
Yeah. So it's very active. It's active brokerage. And by that, I mean, it's a ton of cold calls, massive amounts of cold calls.
Are you doing these cold calls yourself, or do you have a VA team working for you?
Absolutely. No, I'm doing all the cold calls myself. And then it's just about follow up. You know, if somebody says they can meet in the area, even if they're a couple hours away, you get in the truck and you go, you know, that's the best way we found to kind of find these mobile home parks, because like you said, it's not like there's an MLS for it. It's tough to find.
Yeah.
So
I feel like, especially for mobile home, because there's so, a lot of them are mom and pop run, not so much now, but if you're looking at the smaller mobile home parks, you know, even 50 and under, they're going to be owned by smaller operators. And so getting in front of that person, like shaking their hand, goes such a long ways. you know, I've been on the table with mobile home park owners across the country, and I'm always like, you know, I'm not going to fly out to you until we have a signed contract. And that is, you know, people really push back on that. They want to shake your hand before they sign the contract. And so being able to actually go and meet the person is super important. Have you found that to be true with your own brokerage?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, you got to remember, you know, you and me are calling probably the same guy and countless other people. Obviously, you know, the secret's out on mobile home park, you know, and so the biggest thing is just building that trust level. And I think that the only way you can really do that is to get in front of somebody and shake their hand and show that you're a good guy who's going to work hard for them. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much you actually do have to follow up until something actually turns into a deal. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I think I followed up for 2 years before I closed the deal on this one deal that I worked on. I had been talking to the seller for over 2 years before we actually closed, just because, you know, things are going on in their life. It's not the right time to sell. It's not the right, you know, the greater environment in which they exist is not correct for their sales tastes. But then one day comes and they're like, all right, today's the day, you call them, and they're ready to close. So
absolutely. I mean, I can give prime example of, you know, if you would have asked me even 6 months ago, hey, is your storage yard for sale? I would have said, no way, I'm never selling it ever. And it's going to be paid off in this amount of time and we'll hold it forever, you know, and circumstances change all the time. So always keep picking up the phone, you know, and like you said, it took you 2 years to follow up and you got it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that, the storage property you bought. That was your first one that you bought?
Yeah, that was my first one I bought. I think I was like 27 when I bought it. It's pretty small. It's
how big?
It's 30 units, 4,600 square feet. So very small. It's a little bit, and now, like I said, I just moved. And so it's just a little bit too far to manage it correctly.
And you were managing it yourself?
I was. Yep. Okay. Been managing it myself. And what you fight in this area is land costs versus versus what rents. And so especially Austin to San Antonio corridor, the land values are just wild. And sometimes the rents don't always keep up with that. So your spread gets smaller and it just doesn't make as much sense to hold it long term with, you know, what you're making every month, your cash flow. So, and then we're just trying to poise ourselves to, buy maybe something larger. I know we mentioned that before we started. And so, just kind of looking at a projection and, like I said, changed my mind from I'm never selling this thing to now.
Yeah. And that's what I've mentioned this on the podcast before. People who are interested in getting into self-storage, you know, I own at this point, I've owned 5 of them. I love self-storage as an asset class. When I first got started, I did the same thing as you. I was tempted and I thought I'll start small and that will, you know, then I can learn. I can cut my teeth on small deals. But I wish I hadn't done that. The first one I bought was 44 units, really small. I can't remember the square footage, but it was a small facility. And the hard part about small facilities is that you can't hire management. The cash flow or the P&L won't allow for management to be hired, or else you're going to cut all of your profit out.
Yeah.
And so that makes it a nightmare. If you guys are interested in self-storage, definitely go for it, but don't buy anything under... I would say under 20 to 25,000 square feet, that still won't allow you to have somebody on site, but at least you can do a third party property manager, and have them manage the facility mostly remote. Still make a little bit of money, but small self-storage, you got to watch out for sure.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you. And so that's what I'm just in the process of learning right now. And we're moving on to exactly what you said.
Bigger and better things. There you go.
Yeah. That's right.
Right on, man. So for people who are considering becoming a broker, this is whenever I have people who, you know, do brokerage on the side or it's their main gig on the show, I always like to ask, I'm not a broker. I've done investing since 2014 without getting my license. Every single year that passes, I sign up for that stupid course. I pay the $500 and I'm ready to get my broker's license, just thinking like, oh, I should get it. But I just never do. And I haven't done it for 10 years. So I'm waiting for that perfect argument for somebody to come on and give me that pushes me over the ledge and actually get my license. What do you like about being a broker? Do you, for other investors out there, would you recommend that they get their license or just continue down the path of being an investor without a brokerage license?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what they want to do. I think getting your brokerage license for fun, you know, doesn't always make sense. I think if you want to be a broker and you want to push deals out to clients and you know, kind of, my biggest thing with the brokerage side is seeing countless amounts of deals. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see how many deals are out there. You can see what deals, maybe even, like I said, I'm on manufactured housing, but the rest of my guys in the office are in storage. You know, I can kind of see their deals and see what's good, what's not, and poise yourself when you're ready to, you know, jump back onto that principal side and become an investor again. But brokerage is great if you want to be a broker. That's my opinion. And, you know, I started right out of college. The second I got done with my last class in university, I started my real estate classes. And then from there, about 7 years later, I got the full broker's license. And so I could work on my own. I worked on my own for 6 months before and then came here. Learning what's right and wrong and, you know, ethical and not, I think is all great on the broker side. But for me, it's, you know, I probably wouldn't get it unless you really, you know, decide you want to be a broker and push deals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I guess that's not the argument I'll continue having.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that come with, you know, holding the license and, you know, and certain things you can say and do and, you know, there are certain things you have to hold back from if you're just on the principal side, it's kind of more of a Wild West.
Yeah, exactly.
Way of doing business, at least.
one of these years, I'll just push it off one more year. All right, man. Well, that wraps up the main portion. So it's time to jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. It starts with books or any form of education. Could be movies, could be Netflix shows, whatever. I just need two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and then one for real estate.
Yeah, the real estate one, this one's the 10X rule, Grant Cardone. I think that's a great book. I mean, I'm push hard on work ethic. You know, the more you put in, especially with brokerage, the more you get out of it. Volume's the huge game. And actually, I met Grant Cardone one time Aspen. At some kind of bar, and talked to him. And he said, "Man, you're going to be a killer one day." And so, got the book, read it. It's great. My non-real estate book, "Turning the Tide" by Sidney Fitzpatrick, is an amazing book. It reads like a novel. It's a true story about a guy who took down a Medellin cartel in the Bahamas, and nobody's ever heard of it. It should be a Hollywood movie. It's incredible. It's about a 60-year-old man that single-handedly took down a cartel.
That's pretty cool. I'm gonna have to.
It's really cool.
I would like to watch the Netflix series on that, but
they should have one. I don't know. And actually, you know, that book, it's the 70s or 80s, but it's the same island that the Fire Festival was on.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
funny. So way back, that island's got doomed. Crazy history. I know.
All right. Next question is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Vince, who was just getting started in real estate right after college. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
I would say, do not be afraid of cold calls. That no one's going to reach through the phone and grab you or punch you. If they get mad on the cold call, just hang up and call the next guy. And like we were talking about earlier, circumstances change. Don't be afraid to call again in a year or in a month. You know, you never know where someone is on cold calls. Don't be afraid of that. Also, just the follow through afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say the hard part is just picking up the phone. If you're dragging your feet, just get up, pick up the phone, dial the number, press it. You don't have to be mentally there until they start talking. But once that the ringing starts, then your mind will kick in and you'll be ready to rock. So,
absolutely.
All right. Next question is about the U.S. It's a big place, a lot of opportunity. Give me the single metro you're most excited about investing in today.
Man, Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Northwest Arkansas, because of where I'm from, I kind of look at all these articles that this is the next Austin. That's the next Austin, and so they're saying Fayetteville, Bentonville is the next Austin, with how much money the Waltons have put into Bentonville. It's an amazing, amazing place. And, I think it's just poised for mega growth. I'm excited awesome. About Northwest Arkansas. A lot of my clients are excited about Northwest Arkansas. I get lots of calls about that every day. So
that's interesting. I haven't, not many people say Arkansas. In fact, I invested in Hot Springs and that was one of my nightmare investments. but just because there was so much property damage there, but, Arkansas is a unique state, I would say.
It is.
Cool. All right. Northwest Arkansas. Maybe I'll have to look into it.
Definitely look into it. I couldn't say enough good things about it.
All right. All right. Next question is about finding deals. It all starts with getting in contact with the seller. So tell me, what is your favorite way to generate leads and find new deals?
Yeah. Like I said, cold calling is probably the best way. Call your broker.
Networking with brokers. That's what actually a lot of people that come on the show say that. You are a valuable commodity out there.
I'll always answer the phone.
There you go. All right. Second to last question. This is about your strengths. We're all given gifts that we uniquely provide this world. So what is your Superman strength?
Oh, I'd say I'm pretty personable and most people I get along with. I'd say most people, I think every single person I get along with, no matter who you are. And so that's probably my best strength.
Yeah, that is a good strength to have in real estate because it is a people business. And so being personable definitely goes a long ways. All right. That brings us to the last question. This is for the listeners. You've given us a lot to think about. I'm sure people want to reach out, get in contact with you. It's a two-parter. Where can they find you? And then what can they expect when they reach out?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn and that's probably the best way to find me. You can send me a message on LinkedIn anytime and I'll hit you back right away. If you just send me your phone number, I'll pick up the phone and call you. Even better.
There you go. I will put that link in the show notes. So if y'all want to reach out to Vince, just click the little more in the description. It'll pull down that full description and there you can find his link. Awesome. All right, man. That wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Gabe. Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions, reach out to me, Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. If you want to support the show, just give us a like, subscribe, share, all that jazz. Other than that, hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate. Keep picking up that phone. Keep dialing those numbers. And I look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.